You're tuning in to KTOO's Juno Afternoon, and I'm your host, Mandy Nguyen. Joining us first will be Rasmussen Award winners. Lily Hope, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi, and welcome Annie Bartholomew.
Hey.
So thank you both for being here on the show with me. I'm excited to speak with you both because I've also have never had a conversation with you guys, but I've been following your work and I'm a fan. So before we kind of start, I just want to say a quick congratulations and would also love for you both to introduce yourselves in whatever way feels right to you. Lily, would you like to start?
Okay, no pressure. I'm Lily Hope. I'm Lily Hope. I'm a Chilkat and Raven's Tail Weaver living in Juneau, Alaska. I've been practicing for 15 plus years. And I feel like weirdly the shutdown of the world has really made me think outside the box. So that's been a blessing in disguise. Yeah. So I'm a full-time artist. Hi.
Hello. And Annie?
Hey, I'm Annie Bartholomew. I'm a songwriter and folk musician from Juneau, Alaska, and I've lived here all my life and gotten to come up and play music through the Alaska Folk Festival, and super excited to receive this award and record some more tunes for y'all.
For sure. And to begin, maybe starting again with Lily, or Annie, let's switch it up this time. We'll start with Annie. Could you tell us about the projects that you're working on and how they originated, as well as your current progress?
Oh my gosh, I have so many projects going on. The one that I received the award for is this collection of songs inspired by narratives of women during the Klondike Gold Rush in Alaska and the Yukon. And it kind of started when my friends worked at the Red Onion Saloon over the summer and I got to go visit them. It's a historic brothel museum and venue, and they kind of introduced me to this idea of the Gold Rush history that we didn't study in elementary school. And I just thought music would be a really amazing vehicle to share these stories and present them to audiences with an emotional truth that you can't always find reading a book, or you might not pick up that book. And that book for me was Leo Morgan's Good Time Girls of Alaska, which is a total classic. And through writing these songs, I kind of found my own voice. It also led me to learn how to play banjo. And so the Rasmussen funding helped me get a new open back banjo to progress my banjo playing.
Yes.
And then record this album of songs. So it's a weird time to think about recording, because singing is a very dangerous activity in terms of spreading COVID-19. So we're trying to imagine what that'll look like. I'd say I'm about 70% of the way done with the songs. There's still a lot of arranging to do left, and I'm really lucky to have Marion Call helping me out with that. She's got a new album out today. So a lot of work ahead of me. Still learning to play banjo. That's going to be a lifelong pursuit. But it's just so cool. And with COVID-19, it's opened up so many amazing creators who've gone to the web to share what they do. So I'm having access to learn from some of the best players in the world that otherwise living here in Alaska wouldn't have had the opportunity to do.
Yeah. And how has the past few months kind of, has it changed your approach to your project, or have things been going pretty smoothly?
It's made me think about it more. I feel like I've gotten a real gift of time. Instead of rushing to get ready to record this fall, I have more time to think about it. And the more research I do and books I read, the more my thoughts change about it, and the more deep I can get into these stories. So yeah, it's kind of at a standstill in terms of figuring out how the heck to record it. But I'm really excited to work with my producer, Justin Smith and Gus Davis, to try and solve these creative challenges. And it might make me rely more on local Juno artists to help play those songs instead of importing all my favorite Alaska gals. It might be more of a local record, which I think is really cool.
Yeah. And quickly jumping over to Lily, could you tell us a little bit about the project you're working on and how it originated?
Let's see, the Rasmussen Award, the project award that I received, I wrote a narrative to study collage, specifically with master collagist Cecil Touchon from Santa Fe, New Mexico. So he and I have been brainstorming, like, how are we going to do this long distance? Like, ooh, Zoom is so awesome. So we both have studios. We're just going to set up our computers, and I've got a kind of a nice camera to be able to show him what I'm doing. So that's been fun. I thought that I wrote it to study with Dorica Jackson to like master different shapes in Chilkat weaving. But I got a different grant for that. So fun. So I get to create the impetus was how as a Chilkat weaver, when I'm spending upwards of 2,000 hours creating a single body of a single piece of artwork, how do I also create work that doesn't take me that time? Because it's going to take me a 20 years to have a displayable body of work for a solo show. So I was thinking, like, and to top that off, there's no one really studying Chilkat design. My mom did it a bit. She designed a few blankets, and there's like two or three artists who are not working every day who know a little bit about Chilkat design. But I said, you know, what if I took some of those older designs and started collaging them so that I'm exploring that design field and how they fit together and how to rearrange them and create a body of work that hopefully doesn't take me 2,000 hours. So hopefully I can, you know, knock out a couple collages in a day, and also hone my skills in knowing more about how these shapes fit together in Chilkat design. Because if you know anything about Chilkat, it is not, you can't, I can't weave the way that the images are painted on a bentwood box. I can't weave a totem pole carved, you know what I mean? Like, I can't pull it off of that totem pole and weave it exactly like that because I will tear my hair out. It is a mental game in itself, just doing it the way that we've been doing it for 200 years. There is a Canadian weaver, Megan O'Brien, who weaves some smaller pieces, but she is using basically cobwebs or like yarns the thickness of your hair to be able to weave these masterful shapes in Chilkat weaving. And I asked her once, like, well, how long does that take you? And she said, oh, I do not track my hours. I don't want to know. So the like 8-inch pieces that she's weaving might, now, I don't know, they might take her as long as it takes me to weave a 60-inch whole dancing blanket, you know? Yeah. Anyway, so Chilkat design, that's what I'm excited about. That's where I feel like there's a hole in knowledge, and I want to explore it upside down and backwards and black and white and blue and yellow and all the things.
Yes. And kind of within that design, is there anything that you're beginning to unearth or any particular things about it that you're really excited about kind of digging into?
I'm loving the historical documentation of it, that it's been hundreds of years that we've been documenting our clan migrations and our stories and our, you know, births and deaths and significant events in Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian cultures. And like thinking in terms of contemporary art and what that looks like in a collage world, I'm jumping. Like, I don't know if you can tell. I'm
I can
just
tell.
like jumping about that historical element of bringing that into contemporary work. And just wait to see what happens. I have a couple mock-ups I'm not going to show you. Oh, I can't show you because it's radio, but I'm so excited about it.
And just for a clarification, when you speak of collages, do you still mean like weavings? Or like, what does that look like, or what does that manifest as?
Oh, I wish I could collage weavings. I mean, I wish I was that ambitious. I am talking paper and
Got
found
it.
papers
Yes.
and historical papers and yes, and ink and paint and all the things. If you go to ceciltouchon.com, you can check out some of the work that he does. And I am just over the moon that he's willing to work with me. He mentored my mother in a lot of her work. When she started doing collage and doing her like more contemporary paintings. Because as we know as artists, the most popular and best-selling work, like if you want to be taken seriously, painting is kind of the route, right? Paintings in general sell for more than any other art form in the world, like historically and otherwise.
Yeah.
So I don't want to stop weaving. So I'm utilizing paper and paint as the exploration to deepen my weaving practice.
For sure. And there sounds like there's a lot to explore.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's also cool that I'm hearing a common theme between both of your projects is kind of an unearthing and digging into history, especially a bit more like unknown histories, which should be known but are not. So very, very cool to see what you guys will be coming out with soon. And I have been told that you both know each other and are friends. Is this right or is it too bold?
I love everything that Lily does.
Okay.
And she's so talented. I can't wait for her to jump in and do painting because every medium she touches is just amazing. I got to photograph a first dance of one of her robes last month at Sea Alaska Heritage Institute, which was such an incredible honor. I got to model some of her earrings that month too. So Lily just takes her art and spreads it around and brings a lot of joy to a lot of people. I think of, like, was it your mom's quote that we never create alone?
That is her. Mm-hmm. And I keep coming up with, like, I just keep crossing paths with artists like Annie who are just living their dream, like living their heart work, you know, H-E-A-R-T work. And I just want to keep supporting our, like, I feel like I'm just reaching my arms out and we're like, you know, during COVID-19, reaching our arms across the miles and being like, oh, let's do that thing together. Oh, well, what about this? And the excitement and enthusiasm and heart that's built into this work. It's amazing. And actually, it's so funny, Annie, because I was like, what if Annie did a banjo song about this thing? So I have things to bring to you later when we're not on the radio, but I was like, ooh, what if we did a... So all the things, just brainstorm how to continue working with artists who are just in it, just living it every day. It's really fun.
Well, I can't wait to write that tune.
I know. Yeah.
And I'm curious what's been inspiring you guys and keeping you both going, though it sounds like one of the things that might be is that you do get to reach across and collaborate with others, and still people are just making art and doing their thing.
The climate of the Black Lives Matter movement and the COVID-19 shutdown and the statues being removed and so much unrest happening. I kind of just spontaneously made a Chilkat mask, and that's kind of blown up on the internet, social media and such, and a couple shows. The Burke Museum acquired it the same day that it went live on First American Arts Magazine online show, and that has been a saving grace during the shutdown. And I've got this piece in the works that is, you can look for it on Instagram if you want to see the sketch for it, but just allyship that needs to be happening so that we can kind of use our art and use our voices to say, we see, we hear you, we want you to be valued the same to our people of color. Our people of color, I am a person of color, to bring that about, to say, hey, we're with you, we want what you want, let's have this, let's bring this dream to realization, finally. You know, when Martin Luther King is talking about that, like, one day we will walk together, we'll stand together, our kids will be hand in hand together. So making art that speaks to that, that's been on my burner also.
Yeah.
And you can't talk about the banjo without its history. You know, it was an instrument that came from Africa. You can't play it or examine this history without talking about racism and slavery and how that plays out today and the erasure of blackness in folk music. You know, most people think of dueling banjos or Earl Scruggs when they think of banjo music, and it's not that way. And so Instagram is such an amazing tool for finding folks like Rhiannon Giddens and her work, elevating Black and Indigenous voices within the folk music community, because we've got a lot of work to do. It's a very white genre. I'm a white woman. I don't think that's a coincidence. I know I feel very safe in a lot of those spaces, but we have to make it better for everyone, and that's inclusion. That's stepping down and letting other folks take your place on stage, because the more folks of color we have up there, the better programming it is. We don't want to watch the same thing over and over again every year. So, you know, just kind of imagining the future we want to have.
Yeah, I really resonate with what both of you are saying. It really feels like history is happening right now, and it is. And we all have a part to play in that. So I'm happy to hear about that inspiration for you both and how it's manifesting. As we've been talking, I'm wondering if there have been questions that have emerged in either of you for the other person. And if not, that's okay. I can keep rolling. But if anything has come up that you'd like to ask.
Lily and I scheme all the time, every time we see each
that's
other.
Wonderful.
So,
no worries.
And we were working together so much before the Rasmussen Awards were announced, and we just kept being like, oh, I got something I want to tell you, but I can't tell you, and I'm not going to tell you until I can tell you.
It was just like that. Every year you kind of hold your breath, hoping that you'll get picked.
It's torture.
And you both did. Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you.
Congratulations. Oh my gosh.
Rasmussen is doing such meaningful work, really putting the dollars into the artist's hands. It's profound. It's really profound.
Yeah. And as we slowly begin to wrap up this interview, for each of you, where can listeners find more of your work or just keep up with you and what you're doing? If Annie, you want to begin?
My website is anniebegood.com. And it's if you go to the Sisters of Whitechapel Klondike Lady Tunes, you can find out more about the project. And yeah, you'll see me around town.
Yeah. Lily?
And to find me, you can go to lilyhope.com. As long as you spell Lily like the flower, you should find me. You can also find me on Instagram at Lily Hope Weaver.
Cool. Thank you very much. We'll be sure to
Thanks for having me.
No, of course. Yeah. And is there anything else you both would like to share with listeners today?
Yeah, both me and Lily received individual artist grants from the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. And we're just so grateful for that funding, because it's all going to go and become invested in our art. And for me, that means paying other musicians to make more art happen. So thank you so much, the Juno Arts and Humanities Council, for that.
Same. I'll echo the same thing. Gunashchish, thank you for supporting us. Yeah, it goes right back. Like, I'm paying other artists, paying collaborators, buying art supplies, all the fun things. The majority of my Juno Arts and Humanities grant will actually go to a mentor artist. So it's fabulous.
That's so wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both again for joining me today on today's show. It was really a pleasure meeting you both. All right.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Bye. Bye.
Walking.